For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22. We read the verses 34 through 40. Matthew, chapter 22, the verses 34 through 40. And there we read God's holy word. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So far the reading of the Word of God. In Matthew 22, we read about the will of God as it is expressed in the commandments of God, and this and other portions of Scripture is derived of what we read in Lord's Day 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49. Which is the third petition. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved congregation, if there is anything in life we find difficult, it is to obey the Lord and to do His will. Even when the Lord has ever so clearly set before us His will, we are still inclined to do the opposite. We find a clear and shocking example of this on the first pages of the Bible, where we find two people perfectly doing God's will. Adam and Eve were created to do the will of God. And do you know God's will just like they did? What? That you live to His honor and glory. Well, Adam and Eve were perfectly able to do so, and they did so. In all things, they recognized the will of God. It was their food and drink to do the will of God. Sadly, this changed after they listened to the whispers of the devil. They drifted away from the will of God. And since they acted against God's will, they lost their heartfelt desire and zeal to do God's will. And since then, we have a zeal to oppose God's will, to rebel against it, to resist, to evade, and ignore His will. It has even become our natural inclination to disobey God's will. And therefore we are in need of God's grace so that we will learn to do His will again. His will is only good. The theme of our sermon is formed by the third petition, "Thy will be done." This is, first of all, a prayer against our will. Secondly, a prayer to obey His will. And thirdly, a prayer for willingness and faithfulness. Thy will be done. This is a prayer against our will, a prayer to obey His will, a prayer for willingness and faithfulness. First of all, a prayer against our will. This petition is entirely about God's will. In the introduction, I already mentioned that it is clear what God's will is, namely that we obey the Lord. That is to His honor and glory. And what does it mean to obey the Lord? Well, it means that you do His will. To do this, you need to know His will. And how can you know His will? Well, from His Word. And in His Word, you can accurately read His will. The Bible has 66 books, so how can I know the Lord's will? Well, this is not as difficult as it may look like. The will of God is expressed in the Ten Commandments, which he read every Lord's Day. So now you should know what to obey. You should keep God's commandments. And the commandments can be summarized as follow, as we read this evening: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is God's revealed will. This is what God expresses about His will in Scripture. Yet, not all of God's will is revealed in Scripture. For instance, it is not told what the future will bring exactly. God's plan with your life is not disclosed to you. Neither do we know when the Lord Jesus' second coming will be. This is what we call God's hidden will. There are many things we would like to know, and sometimes we really feel the need to know the Lord's secret will. For instance, when you are at a crossroad in life, the Bible is not a handbook which tells you what you to do in every specific situation. How should we deal with the hidden will of God? Well, Scripture gives us some helpful instruction about this. We read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And in a way, there is a connection between God's revealed and hidden will. What? Well, when it comes to guidance for our life's path, we wonder what the will of the Lord is. At least, I hope this is a question for you. If it is well, it will bring you on your knees, making supplications to the Lord. Lord, show me thy way. And yet, how do you discern the direction of the Lord? You don't receive a letter from heaven. And I understand when you sometimes wished you would receive one. Though you don't know what to do, for one thing, it is clear what you should do. Namely, to do all the words of His law. This means that you should always seek to obey His revealed will. This pleases the Lord, and this is to His honor. And on top of that, in this way, the Lord also guides you on your life's path. That's the connection with the hidden will of God. And let me give an example from Scripture. You know about the Apostle Philip. We heard about him in last week evening service. We studied Acts 8, where we read God's revealed will for Philip. God's revealed will for Philip. An angel told him, that's revealed, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And maybe you are thinking, oh, I wish an angel would come to me and tell me what I should do, in what direction I should go. No, don't draw a conclusion too fast. What Philip had to do was against common sense. Philip finally saw fruit on the preached gospel in the city of Samaria. And now he had to leave the city and go on the infamous road to the direction of Gaza with the good chance to get robbed. It was a good thing that the Lord sent an angel. Otherwise, Philip would never have gone this way. Now, why did he need to go that way? Well, he did not know. And the Lord did not tell him. It was hidden to him. Philip might have had many questions about God's hidden will. And yet, we don't read anything about this. What do we read? And he rose and went. That's all he did. He just obeyed the Lord. But now listen carefully. In the way of obedience, he found out what he had to do on his way to Gaza. What? To instruct an Ethiopian man who was reading Isaiah 53. Philip's pathway was determined by God. Philip did not know his life's path, but he entrusted it to God. And in the way of obedience to God's revealed will, he went his way. And sometimes the Lord gives a glimpse of his hidden will afterward. But the point is that we are called to do God's revealed will. And never forget that as long as you don't obey the Lord's revealed will, you will never understand the way you should go. And maybe someone here has run stuck with God's hidden will. You are afflicted with all kinds of difficulties, and you don't understand God's purpose in it at all. You don't understand his ways, which are indeed unsearchable. And then you lose sight of God's goodness, power, and sovereignty, and you begin to doubt. Well, if this is about you, then you are called to return this very afternoon to return to his revealed will. You are called back. And what is God's revealed will in these circumstances? Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. To obey his revealed will, we need to renounce our own will, says the Heidelberg Catechism. That's always, do you hear? Always against our proud flesh. Always. What are we since our fall in Adam and Eve? And this morning we heard it. Children of wrath. We disobey. We rebel. We are obstinate sinners. We have gone astray and are far from home. It is a sin to insist on doing your own will. And when it comes to obeying God's will, you can definitely count on resistance in your heart, since we love to be part of this world, to enjoy the dainties of the world, to compromise, to pursue all things carnal. And we live in a society where an individual must be given space to follow his or her own desires. And everyone should be able to live the life he wants. And if you want to use marijuana, you go ahead and enjoy it. And if you want to live together with someone of the same sex, go ahead. And we hope you will be happy. Human rights have brought not only justice, but also trouble. And most ideas of liberalism have brought us into the captivity of sin and evil. Have you discovered your natural unwillingness to obey the Lord and your strong inward desire to follow your own sinful lusts? When the Lord opens your eyes for this and leads you further into the loathsomeness of sin and the depravity of your heart, you will feel so sad at times. You did not know that such wickedness lived in your heart. But there's more, which causes us to focus on our own will rather than God's. What about all that is in our natural heart by which we seek to control our own life? In our hearts dwell contentious thoughts which are not according to God's will. For instance, you're fretting and fearing about tomorrow. All your thoughts and considerations during the daytime, are they all in accordance to God's will? It is so difficult to overcome all fears and pessimistic ways of thinking because of unbelief. You can get tired of your own pondering since you know and experience that these thoughts are not according to God's will. And this will trouble you when the Lord pours out His love into your heart. To a certain extent, we all will agree that there is a lot of evil in our hearts. But does it really bother you? Does it make you sad? Why? Because you see that this is sin against the holy and majestic God, of whom we must say that He is nothing but good. And it will trouble you to the extent your heart is renewed by the Spirit of God. And that renewing work commences in your heart in the hour of regeneration. In the hour of regeneration, the Lord opens your heart and enlightens your mind and bends your will. And then you become a twofold man, an old and a new man. And they are opposite to each other. Now we have come to our second point, namely our prayer to obey His will. The new man desires to die to self. And yet the old man protests. An inward battle takes place where the new man wants to fight against the old man. And when the old man seeks to survive and weaken the new man. For instance, the new man desires to live holily according to all God's commandments. The new man loves the Lord's service, His day, His statutes, His word. The old man in the regenerated person desires the opposite. The old man seeks to stay away from the influences of spirit and has no zeal for the Lord and His service. The old man can be very religious, for sure, but it has not a zeal and no love to the Lord. But how do you learn to renounce your own will? Well, only by God's grace. This is asked in the third petition, "Thy will be done." It's an humble prayer for more humility. No man desire
to be made humble. The only one who loves humility is he who seeks to be righteous by his good works. He regards his exercise of humility as a good work, which makes him suitable for the grace of the Lord. But maybe this confuses you, or you wonder, don't we need to be made humble? Yes, for sure. But when the Lord humbles you, you will also feel the pain of your sinful flesh, since your flesh doesn't want to be made humble at all. Do you know of this battle? The battle between the new man and the old man? Do you sincerely pray this petition? You learn to nullify your own will in order to do God's will. And then you will pray against your own will. And maybe you say, I find it so difficult. And you are right. Let this be an exhortation to pray ceaselessly for the Lord's grace. Don't let the difficulty of the battle be a reason to indulge your sinful inclination by reasoning that you are doing your best, but yeah, we are not perfect. Or you stop the battle by reasoning that you can't do it in your own strength. You need to know spiritual life. You need to be born again, but you wonder whether you are born again. And if not, does it make any sense to fight against my sinful flesh? Does it make it any difference if I pray? And before you know it, you lose courage and you continue your sinful lifestyle. But my friend, don't forget God's revealed will. And you should start with this. You know His revealed will. Namely, that you must obey the Lord, that you must repent from sin and turn to God. Take your impossibility to strive against sin to God and confess it before Him. You should earnestly try it. Pray to the Lord, "Will thou teach me to renounce my own will?" And congregation, do you sense how practical this teaching is? All your rejections, your excuses, all your reasoning derive from your own will. Oh, pray, teach me to die to my own will so that I will obey thy will. We need to agree with God's will. And this applies to God's revealed will, but also to His hidden will, for the things we cannot understand because they surpass our understanding. We should not regard God's counsel to be like fate. The Lord does not give an account of His actions, but what we need to know is revealed in His Word. And whatever is hidden to us, we should entrust that to Him. Or do you suspect the Lord of doing evil? The Lord reveals in His Word that He is compassionate with mankind. He condescends to the earth to show His mercy to people who deserve nothing but hell. And in spiritual life, your wrestling with the Lord is for your good. It can be that the Lord will press even more difficulties on your shoulders so that you will increasingly learn that the Lord knows about you, since He gives you grace every day to carry on, all the while teaching you to lean on His power, wisdom, and truth day by day. It's so sad if you don't know of wrestling with the Lord, but end up with just reasoning. A genuine prayer for strength to renounce your own will be given from above when you stop reasoning. And as long as you continue to reason, you will never really pray this third petition. But it will sincerely be prayed when your heart is filled with love to the Lord. Then you don't only pray for yourself, but also for others, because you acknowledge that the Lord is worthy to receive all honor and glory. It saddens you when you see so many people who are not doing the will of God. And maybe you know someone or several in your family or extended family, or you think of someone in our congregation. It saddens you when you notice that some people take the service of the Lord so lightly, or that some are acting rebelliously. You pray for yourself, Lord, keep me from following my own will. You also pray for others. May we do thy will. Grant conversion, grant repentance and faith. For thou hast revealed in thy word that thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You will pray for this world as well. You become little in your own eyes, since you are not better than others. You are one of the citizens of Canada. The sins of the world bother you. Are we really filled with compassion for the souls of our fellow citizens? Daniel confessed the sins of his people in his personal prayer. He knew himself to be one with the people. But why is it so important that God's will be done? Because that is to his honor and glory. That is what God deserves. And the miracle of grace is that what is to his honor is also to our well-being. The Heidelberg Catechism says that his will is only good. But we also need the grace to see that his will is good. Who would consider it to be good if something dear to you is taken from you? If a loved one is taken from you, a spouse or a child? If you go bankrupt or suffer from a disease, or if you experience tension in marriage or family, is that also according to God's will? Can we call that good? All the crooked ways in your life's path, we need to bow, which is only possible with the grace of the Lord. Thy will be done, even when it is painful for me, for thy will is only good. But how do you learn to pray this? How do you learn to pray against your own will? When you get the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prayer for willingness and faithfulness, our third point. When it comes to our willingness and faithfulness, we should look at the Lord Jesus Christ and his wrestling to do the will of his Father. See him wrestling in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We cannot fully understand the contents of his agony. We enter holy ground here, since the Son of God wrestled with his Father. Who can fathom this mystery? His struggle was unique. As mediator, he wrestled for his entire church. He wrestled with his Father to do his will. And recall what happened in the garden. The Lord Jesus is at the threshold of his deepest suffering. He's overtaken by hellish agony. He is reluctant, since in his human nature, he doesn't know how to cope with the burden of God's wrath, which was laid upon him. And he falls on his knees and prays, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. His wrestling in prayer was so deep and profound. An angel of God descended to him to strengthen him. And you would consider this to be a message from heaven that God has heard his prayer, that he will receive some relief. But no, on the contrary, we read in the sequel to this story, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Did the Father hear his prayer? Yes, but not by removing the cup from him, but by granting him grace to continue the way of obedience. And we read in the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Do you notice something of the depth of what the Lord Jesus learned in the Garden of Gethsemane? In his human nature, he learned to submit himself to his Father time and again. And this is a mystery which goes far beyond our understanding. And yet, the Lord Jesus has left an example by his deep suffering. What? He poured out his heart to his Father according to the Lord's will. Pour out your heart before him. And he entrusted all to his Father. And he was heard in that he feared. To receive this spirit of supplication, we need a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has merited that gracious gift of bowing under the will of God. He has learned this as mediator for his people, so that you would learn to submit to God's holy will. Who can measure the Lord Jesus' suffering under the wrath of God from the unwillingness and hardness of his people's heart? And yet in this way, he has merited a willing heart for his people. Look to him who is good and wise. He has suffered hellish agony for his people. He has merited forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Look at the price he paid for unwilling sinners. With him, you find all you need to bear your cross willingly in obedience. And the cross he bore was for the good of his people. Will you not take up your cross and follow him? At the time that the Lord Jesus announced his sufferings to his disciples, Peter did not understand much. In his blindness, he considered his own will to be more important. And due to this, he was an obstacle to the Lord Jesus and his own salvation. He answered the Lord Jesus' announcement about his suffering with the words, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never happen to thee." It was a sore temptation for the Lord Jesus, for Peter to suggest Jesus to escape the deep sufferings and ultimate death on the cross. But Jesus refuted and admonished him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And in this story, we learn how easily God's people can be an obstacle to the Lord. Only shortly before this episode, Peter had confessed, "Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And with the best intentions, he strived against God's will. And therefore, we need to pray, "Thy will be done." Make me faithful and willing. It was the Lord Jesus' food and drink to do the will of the Father, like the angels who ceaselessly, willingly, and faithfully do God's will. They are before the Father's presence day and night and serve God continually. And the obedience of the angels is set before us as an example. This is added to the third petition, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Meaning, give that thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven by the angels, willingly and faithfully. They always do God's will and obey God's word. If it is well, it becomes your earnest desire to be as obedient as the angels. The Heidelberg Catechism closes with a very practical instruction. Thy will be done also means that I pray to God that he will give that I perform the duties of my station and calling willingly and faithfully. The duties of my station and calling. What is meant here? Well, very simple. Namely, that you perform your daily task. That's your calling. What? Well, if you go to university or college, then you should be diligent in fulfilling your task. Maybe you don't like your studies. Perhaps you find it challenging to be disciplined. Remember your calling. Do your studies willingly and faithfully. And let this be a matter of daily prayer, so that you will not waste your time and energy on useless pastime, which is a temptation in our days, especially for children and young people. Maybe you have been in the workforce for many years. Did you know that if you are a faithful employee, you are fulfilling your calling? Your employment is God's call to you. And don't underestimate the grace of being a reliable employee. Maybe you don't find much satisfaction in your daily work. Well, before looking for another job, you should make it a matter of prayer. Namely, whether the Lord wants you to apply for another job or whether you should stay put. That's also meant with performing your task willingly and faithfully. Lord, show me thy way. Be faithful in the office. Some of us are called to a particular office, namely the office of elder or deacon. And yet we all are called to the office of all believers. And there are endless duties to perform in this office, don't you think so? For instance, take the church directory and go through the list of members, and you will see the names, and you know, oh, this one could be lonely, and this one is grieving. And some are afflicted with trials and difficulties. What is God's will for you as member of the Hamilton Church or another congregation where you are a member of? Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burden,
and so fulfill the law of Christ. Peter says in his first epistle, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And this admonishment applies without any discrimination. And the same apostle says somewhere else, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Who of us should not bow his head and confess, I have so many shortcomings. O Lord, forgive my sins. Forgive my unwillingness and unfaithfulness to do the most desirous thing. What? To do thy will. Fill my heart with love and zeal to fulfill my daily task. And this is contrary to our natural disposition. We want to attain our goals. We want to progress, such as having more wealth, more happiness, and more exciting challenges in life. When you are young, you want to have an excellent job, or you want to marry and get children, or you want to give your life a new boost. We make our plans and seek to realize them. And we thank the Lord if all went according to our desires. Yet this is not the same as praying that the Lord's will be done. The fact that you are successful or that the transition in life goes smoothly does not automatically mean that you are doing God's will. The young ruler was successful as well. And yet he did not the will of God. A trait of spiritual life is that you increasingly fear your own deceitful heart and pray, Lord, will thou give grace so that I won't pursue my own will, but thy will, that I may faithfully fulfill my task in the workforce, in the office, at home, as father and as mother, as a student and as a child at home. From the Lord Jesus, we learn that pursuing your own will is not beneficial or to God's honor and glory. And as long as you seek to fulfill your own desires, you are still captured by your own will. I don't know all of your lives. I don't know your heart's desire. But let the will of God be at the center of your desires. By God's grace, it will become your food and drink to do His will. Food and drink, that means the basics for your daily life. His will should not be an addition to your will, like a dessert to a meal, something that does not have the highest priority. God's desire should be our number one desire. And then all other desires will become subservient to His desire. In this spiritual exercise, the Lord shows you His way. Are you hungry for this food and drink? Is it your desire to perform your task willingly and faithfully? With the Lord is plenty grace to fill your heart with this desire. So let it be your prayer. Thy will be done. Amen.